A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 493. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Primeval. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is an ITV series that ran from 2007 to 2011. They did five series for a total of 36 episodes. They were 45 minutes each, and it gave us a mixture of time travel and dinosaur adventures and government agencies tasked with investigating these strange anomalies.
It did indeed. And of course, I think we can agree, Brian, that pretty much everything is better with dinosaurs.
I guess so, yeah.
It's certainly a fun romp of a family entertainment show with some cutting edge for the time CGI to give us the dinosaurs and the various creatures. And there are similarities to other shows from around about that era, which we might get to later on. But yeah, it's a fun romp, very much this one. So let's get into the setup. As we have intimated, we have a team of scientists and animal experts investigating some strange animal attacks happening in the Forest of Dean here in the UK. But what they discover is some strange portals, or anomalies, as we get to learn to call them, which appear to be portals in time that are linking the present day to prehistoric times.
That's right. And these animal attacks that they are seeing are in fact dinosaur attacks from dinosaurs and later other prehistoric creatures that accidentally wander through these anomalies and end up in the present day. And in response to this, the government home office in the UK sets up a special department to hunt down these anomalies and control the creatures that are threatening the public, and to make sure that people are not injured and killed by them. And of course, they are maintaining secrecy and avoiding panic and so on. So they end up with this organization called the Anomaly Research Center that we don't have right at the beginning, but we end up with that organization with their own big complex, and they are learning about these anomalies and the various creatures.
They are indeed. And we can probably hint and say that they will discover much more than just dinosaurs over the progression of the series, Brian.
Oh, for sure.
So let's go through our characters. We start with Professor Nick Cutter, played by Douglas Henshall. He is a paleozoologist who becomes the government's main expert on these anomalies and the creatures that appear from them. He starts off as a sort of university professor in his own department, but is sort of recruited to lead the science team at this Anomaly Research Center. And we should mention he has a bit of backstory, because we know that his wife disappeared mysteriously some time ago. And again, without giving too much away, we can say that mystery is sort of going to be solved as the series progresses.
Yes, absolutely. The dynamic there is something that they deal with quite a bit. Stephen Hart, played by James Murray, is Professor Cutter's main research assistant and his right-hand man in most things. He is often the action hero kind of character who gets into scrapes and seems surprisingly skilled in the use of all sorts of weapons and various combat things.
Does a lot of the running around and running and jumping, as does Abby Maitland, played by, would you believe, Hannah Spirit from the band S Club 7, or just S Club as they're sometimes known. She is. Abby is a zookeeper who at the start of the series is investigating or searching for an escaped animal from her zoo, but she gets caught up in the events of the first episode and these anomalies and then becomes part of the government team. And I would say that Abby, like Stephen, knows how to handle herself. She can look after herself. We see her practicing her kickboxing in some scenes, and she seems quite useful in a fight and does an awful lot of the running and jumping as well.
Yes, and her expertise in animals from all of this zoo work comes into play as well, of course. Connor Temple, played by Andrew Lee Potts, is one of Professor Cutter's students at Central University. Connor becomes the sort of science geek of the team and is the one who is skilled at technology and science, sometimes paleontology, not as much the action hero as the others, and that is something that we hear about quite a bit over the course of things.
So that's our sort of science team. We've of course got to have some sort of interaction between them and the government. So initially, Claudia Brown, played by the actress Lucy Brown, she is the civil servant who seems to be the direct liaison between the Home Office and the ARC team. And of course, she also is a possible romantic interest for our lead male character, Nick Hutter. So that will develop. Although, again, they do interesting things with her character and storyline as the series progresses.
Yes, they do. And as you get into time travel type things, there are wrinkles that come in with lots of things with this show and certainly with her character in particular. James Lester, played by Ben Miller, is the man from the ministry who controls all of the funding and the supervision of the team. He is sometimes a bit of a shadowy figure whose motivations are not always clear, but over time we see him as the ally for this team when dealing with the rest of the government. He's the one who represents them to everyone else and is involved in the sort of cover-up aspects of making sure the public doesn't find out about what's going on.
And then one more main character we'll mention, Helen Cutter, of course, played by Juliette Aubrey. She is, or was, Nick Cutter's wife. She was also, like him, a scientist at the fictional Central University. She seems to have a wide range of scientific knowledge. Of course, the ARC are going to find out that the reason she disappeared several years ago is that she fell through one of these anomalies and has been living in the past. A complicated character, her return to the present is not straightforward in that it's not the happy reunion with her former husband that you might expect. And she has strange views about the anomalies and what to do with them, which again become a real issue as the series goes on.
Yes. So Nick Hutter believes that he was widowed several years ago and finds that not only is his wife alive, she has been living rough, so to speak, and traveling through time and becoming much more expert than the other characters in the anomalies and what's going on out there. So she periodically shows up and always complicates things. Interesting character.
Indeed.
So there are quite a few other characters that show up over the course of the show. We mainly talked about the ones that were there at the beginning, but we get lots of other characters, sometimes effectively replacing those and sometimes additional ones. We get a couple of historical characters who are from other time periods that become involved, and they can be interesting. So there's a lot of characters and lots of stuff going on there. So getting into things a little bit more with the storytelling, the anomalies are cropping up with alarming regularity. They seem to be all over the place now, and the arc is dealing with a variety of menaces from the past, sometimes even ones from the future.
Indeed. And of course, we've got dinosaurs. We've got dinosaurs that run and chase and bite. But of course, we have to have some variety in there. So we will also see creatures that live in the water, flying dinosaurs, a variety of creepy, crawly, sort of bug-type creatures. Their eggs cause problems here and there. And as the series progresses, the team will learn much more about these creatures, but also much more about the anomalies and how they can perhaps predict them as a team, how they can detect them, and possibly even control them and use them themselves later on. And of course, it's not just one-way traffic, Brian. We don't just have characters or creatures coming into the present from the past. As you've suggested, we also have characters falling through anomalies and ending up in the past. That becomes a sort of quite frequent occupational hazard for the team at the ARC.
Yes, it's there from the beginning that they're traveling in time themselves and not just having the creatures show up. But it does become very important as the series goes on, and eventually we start seeing more things where they're not only connecting with anomalies to the distant prehistoric past or the far future after humanity is gone, but they're also sometimes connecting to moments in history and in the nearer future. So they have lots of things to work with there, and ultimately their biggest threats and the things they have to worry about the most are not the dinosaur attack of the week, but possibly the humans from their own time and from other times as well.
It's complicated being a member of this ARC team.
It seems it certainly can be. So getting into our production notes, Primeval was created by screenwriters and producers Tim Haynes and Adrian Hodges. The idea for it goes back to an earlier documentary series called Walking with Dinosaurs, which aired on the BBC in 1999 and had a couple of sequel miniseries that aired in the years after that.
Yes, and people will probably remember that Walking with Dinosaurs and its sequel series were big hits for the BBC. They used, at the time, the cutting-edge visual effects to show how dinosaurs might have lived and existed in the Mesozoic era for the first series. And it went on, we looked this up beforehand, it went on to Walking with Beasts, Walking with Monsters. There was also Walking with Cavemen, but Tim Haynes, we think, was not involved in that one. Is that right, Brian?
Yes, I think so. And those were broadcast on the Discovery Channel in North America with American narrators replacing the British one. And it was something of a hit over here on this side of the pond as well.
So much of a hit that Tim Haynes wondered about creating an action-adventure TV show that would use the same effects and have humans interacting with dinosaurs. And the first one he did was, interestingly enough, an adaptation of Arthur Conan Doyle's book The Lost World, and that was broadcast in 2001. Adrian Hodges co-wrote the screenplay. Interesting cast on that one. It is on our radar. We may return to that at some point.
Very interesting. In 2002, Tim Haynes started his own production company. That was Impossible Pictures. And he began to work on this idea of a show he was originally calling Cutter's Bestiary. And he was inspired by the old Ray Harryhausen movies, as well as the success of the Jurassic Park movies and the various versions of King Kong that had come out over the years. And of course, he also cited science fiction shows with a lead scientist type figure like Quatermass and Doctor Who, of course.
Now, originally he was thinking this would be a 90-minute TV film similar to his Lost World production, but he was struggling with the script. He had this sort of general idea, but he was struggling with the script. And it was at this time that Laura Mackey at the BBC suggested that he perhaps consider Adrian Hodges again as a writer. Interestingly, Hodges had just come off the back of winning a BAFTA for his work on a drama series called Charles II, The Power and the Passion. And after doing that sort of very serious historical drama, he was looking for something a bit more fun. He said in interviews that he was thinking of a show that had the same sort of excitement and humour of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So he started working with Tim Haynes. And interestingly, it was Adrian Hodges who came up with the title Primeval and helped sort of like firmly establish the initial characters and the settings that would go on to actually appear in the show.
It's interesting. I would not have guessed that this had Buffy the Vampire Slayer as sort of a tone they were thinking about, because it does not feel that way to me. They were actually developing this for the BBC and had the concept of something similar to Doctor Who in mind. But of course, Russell T. Davis came back to the BBC with the intention of reviving Doctor Who, which of course happened in 2005. And at this point, the BBC decided to pass on the project from Haynes and Hodges because they were doing something a little bit similar to it in Doctor Who. So Haynes and Hodges took it to ITV, were at that point the obvious other choice after the BBC for something like this. And ITV commissioned an initial series of 6 episodes.
So they've got the series commissioned, they've got their scripts, they have obviously special effects, which are going to be a huge part of this show. And unsurprisingly, Tim Haynes turned to the visual effects company Framestore because they'd done the work on Walking with Dinosaurs. So he was very familiar with them. And here they were creating more visual effects of dinosaurs for this show, based on fossil records to some extent, but certainly, and there's a certain exaggeration to make the creatures look and act more scary, perhaps. And as the series progresses, we get new creatures, we get even more variation on themes as it goes on. And of course, Framestore also produced, you have to do the anomalies. What do these portals look like? So we get these sort of shimmering fractured light or fractured mirror effects on screen for the anomalies, and Framestore created all that as well.
Yeah, I think the visuals for the anomalies were pretty good. It was a well-judged thing. I didn't get tired of seeing the same effect for that over the seasons. Exterior shots for Primeval were shot at the University of Surrey in Guildford, and they also went to the volcanic landscapes of the Canary Islands to film some scenes set in the prehistoric past. The music was composed by Dominic Scherer and James Hannigan.
I'm just thinking that the production blocks must have been interesting, because presumably they would have to shoot all the sort of university scenes and then take the whole crew off to Tenerife or wherever on the Canary Islands to film the volcanic stuff whenever they were doing past. And that must have continued in the subsequent series as well, Brian.
Yes, I would think so. And it maybe they went with a stripped down team to shoot those. I don't know. Primeval Series 1 was broadcast on ITV starting on February 10th, 2007.
And it was a success. It had viewing figures of about 6 million per episode, and it led to fairly quick commissioning of 2 further series, which appeared in 2008 and then in 2009. All seemed to be quite rosy for Primeval. We'll talk about this a little bit more next episode when we talk about some of the spin-offs. But sadly, the economic crash of 2008 drove ITV here in the UK to the brink of bankruptcy, and they had to start cutting a lot of expensive series. And as you can imagine, the visual effects budget for each episode of Primeval was quite high. And so Primeval, unfortunately, was an obvious candidate to be cut. And so it was cancelled after the 3 series, with a lot of plot lines still unresolved, some characters coming and going. It was left really sort of like on the edge, like on a cliffhanger, I think, Brian.
Yes, they deliberately resolved some things, but kept things open and a bit of a cliffhanger there. I could imagine that Primeval was expensive for them, not only with the digital effects, but also all of that location filming.
Indeed, yeah.
Fortunately, they did make a deal between Impossible Pictures and ITV and the UK TV channel and BBC Worldwide in 2009, and that let them commission two more series, and those were broadcast in 2011. This allowed them to wrap up more of the storylines and take things into some new directions with new team members and new storylines and ideas coming into it.
Yes, and we've noticed that obviously some of the regular cast had moved on to other projects in the gap. New cast members joined for seasons 4 and 5, as you can imagine. And it all seemed quite promising at the start of 2011 because the viewing figures for Series 4 were not bad, around 4 million people per episode. But for some reason, I don't know what happened in the second half of 2011, Brian, the figures, again, dropped off a cliff for Series 5, and that was it. It was cancelled after the 5 series. There were no more episodes of Primeval to come, I'm afraid.
Yes, and it was left open so it could be continued, but it was nicely resolved at that point. So I think a satisfying way to complete that series.
So, availability time. Here in Region 2, fairly easy, several options. The complete box set of all 5 series is £25, which for 36 episodes is pretty good value for money. You can stream the individual episodes or series on Amazon and on Apple. The series run to about £6 to £10 per series. Or if you've got Sky TV or a Now TV subscription, then you can watch it as part of your subscription, which is what I've been doing. I've seen the whole series on Now TV, which is quite convenient. And the box set is available to rent on cinemaparadiso.co.uk.
Very good. That box set does have some extras on it too, which is nice. In Region 1, there were some DVD releases. They split the 5 seasons into 3 volumes, and I think those may be out of print now. You can find them on the Amazon Marketplace. It was, I think, $63, $62, and $30, so $155 US for the whole series. Or if you buy an import of the Region 2 complete series set, it was only $43. So if you can play the out-of-region ones, then that's a good option. There also have been some Blu-ray releases over time, but the availability and the pricing is not great on those, and it's quite inconsistent. So you can look around for those, but you may not be able to find them. It is also available on Amazon Prime, free to subscribers in the US, or you can purchase individual episodes.
That's good. Nice to know you can at least get it over there.
Yeah, there is some availability, which is good.
So next time, come back and join us. We're going to look a little bit at how the story's progressed in subsequent seasons. We'll mention some of the new characters and the actors who played them. And we may get into some minor spoilerish territory. We're going to keep that, I think, fairly minimal, Brian. Try not to spoil too much about this series. Safe to say there are plenty of dinosaurs in it. I think we can say that much.
Yes, there are. But we'll get into some of the changes that happen over the course of it and some of the things that get introduced. We will also talk about some of the similarities to shows like Doctor Who and also to the various Stargate series. There's some similarities there, and so on, some other shows.
And of course, we will give our rating and recommendations and review of this show, Primeval. So as ever, plenty to talk about next time.
Absolutely. Until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com, including the ones that are no longer in the podcast feed. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there and join in on some of the conversations. And you can follow us on Threads and Instagram. We are British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, indeed. Come and find us on the socials. Let us know what you thought of Primeval. And come and find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network at VogueNetwork.com. The Voice of Geeks for gaming, content, Twitch streaming, podcasts, and plenty more at VogueNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.